But it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. Mm-hmm. The thing is, other people behave in a way they want you to see them. You know what I mean? When you judge people, when you judge what you see, it's not like you're judging what you see exactly.
So, you know, that's a danger of being superficial and judging people according to whatever they want to show you. When you lean on whatever you see from their appearance, from what they say, as I said, judging a book by its cover, it's quite dangerous because you give them the opportunity to show themselves the way they like, and that might deceive you. Mm-hmm. They show, not definitely, I don't want to be so pessimistic, but they show the thing they like you to see.
I know.
While they're not that much good. They pretend to be so sophisticated. But, you know, when you speak with them for a longer while...
As you go deep down, they're
so
much shallow.
For an hour or 2 hours, yes, yes. The surface comes upside and you could see that that person is not that much so sophisticated the way I thought him or her to be. And that's the case. I don't want to go for the cliches. Somehow I agree with Bitter. Because I think that, although, again, you are right, Asma, it's our nature to judge people when we see them.
Yes.
But we could not, I think we should not trust our sixth sense in this case. We must leave some possibilities that,
of course,
okay, the person is not, you know, there are lots of scientists and lots of great people who do not wear appropriate clothing. They don't give attention. They do not pay attention
to their appearance.
Yes. And when you see them, you say, oh my God, that's a really poor person. And I don't think he's well educated. So I have my BA or MA, so I will ignore him or her.
No. When I talked to you, I told you based on our knowledge. I didn't say based on our shallowness.
I'm talking about the first visit.
But Zainab, I want to tell you, you know, even in first visits or first days or something, there is a combination in human being that, you know, is made from the subconscious and conscious.
Yeah, of course.
You know, when you behave, you know, some parts of your behavior is what you decide to be. For example, you are aware of yourself. You are aware of what you're telling to that person and you are choosing your words, you know, wisely. But the thing is, there are something like body language, like, you know,
many
what,
skills, many people have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Many things that you are not aware of.
Exactly.
And you are doing that from the first, very first moment that you meet someone. And if you have, for example, sharp eyes, you can see that.
Of course. You know, I'm talking about sharp eyes.
Yeah. I have this experience that I was like, okay, this person is a good person or something like that. And after a long time, I just understood that, okay, this one is not what I thought. But when I was thinking like, okay, from the first date that we had, from the first visit that we had, I saw this behavior. But I didn't pay attention to that. This is the problem.
So what do you say if we go for a short break?
I do agree.
Yeah, let's go for a short break and we'll be back in no time. Thank you for listening. Welcome back to your audience of IRB English Radio. This is Back to Reality and we're having some interesting topic in here. I enjoyed it up until now because, you know, it's a very interesting matter to discuss about. It's usually the thing about judging other people or other things is that it comes from your intuition. Mm-hmm. It's something unknown. Up until now, what I got from whatever you said is that when we have the first impression about someone, it might work for us or it might work against us, because as you just said, human beings are so much sophisticated and they are not just so much easy to learn. They are complicated and they might be so much skilled and talented in deceiving other people and showing whatever they wish to show people. So they are going to show me, as a person who is meeting them for the first time, the perfect picture of a human being, which turns out to be wrong. As a human being, what I have to do is to be always alert and on guard. You know what I mean? I usually think that having interactions with other people and living in society would give you that hint that whatever you get from the impression of a person is not all the thing that matters. Just as you said that, okay, you get an impression and you judge other people, but still you have to leave some extra space for that person to be either a good person or a bad person against whatever you have got from them. Judging people is not something bad or good in itself. What matters is your knowledge of those people,
and
which comes after interaction.
The thing is, the knowledge of other people is important. But, you know, I think judging other people is a way of knowing yourself, actually.
Exactly.
You know, when you judge other people, exactly, you're not judging them. You're showing your true self in yourself, you know.
Now you're saying it in a negative way.
The thing is, you have to know yourself first.
Yeah.
To judge others. You know, it's about the knowledge of yourself, the self-awareness or something like that. It's not knowing others.
Yeah, I would agree to some extent, but that's not
all. Why to some extent?
because sometimes it happens that many things would come in the middle of that story. That it is not only your knowledge of yourself that is going to matter. You know, just as you said, human beings are very much complicated in nature. There could be someone in front of me who does know how to deceive me. So I, knowing myself that, okay, human beings are kind, human beings are cool and whatever and blah, blah, I would trust them, but I'm doing a wrong thing. And we have also the other side. I'm a vicious person. I think that other people are going to be like me. I'm going to be so much pessimist toward other people. So it's not just the knowledge of me, because the knowledge of the other person in front of you is going to have an important role in that judging that you're doing.
Maybe judging in its nature is not that much bad, but what makes it bad is whether it is superficial or deep.
Exactly.
It's our nature to judge other people, but whether you judge them by their appearance, by their clothing, by their, I don't know,
whatever,
nationality.
Whatever that comes into your eyes.
Yes, racism.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, it's another issue.
The color of the skin of a person.
Yes, that comes in our help, you know, and about this topic. But I don't know, we have a proverb in Persian. I don't know the exact words, but the gist of the proverb is that you cannot come to know a person until he or she opens his or her mouth.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this opening the mouth is...
is going to reveal everything.
Yes. Yes. When they show their character.
That was what I was trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how talented they are in deceiving you, if you're experienced enough, if you have enough of knowledge, if you have a thoughtful brain, then you're going to get that, okay, this game that guy is playing on me is not the true thing. He's just
even a good sixth sense will help you.
Yeah.
Even sometimes you don't have a strong, proof to show someone that telling them, okay, this person is bad, but you feel it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You're sure about
you feel
that.
It. I do believe in that. So, dear listeners, this was all the time that we had for today's episode. We talked about judging people. There are quite many idioms and proverbs for that. But I do believe that it all depends on your knowledge of human beings, of nature, of life, living in this world. And that matters so much. Still, I would say that judging people in a shallow way is not going to be a good thing, of course, and we all know that. But if you do it with much of a thought, I guess it would come to your help. And that's it. That was the gist of what we were talking about. Thank you for staying tuned. And I bid you farewell from me and the entire cast of Back to Reality. I leave you to God's never slipping eyes. Thank you for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin. يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رازك
يا الله
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رازك لتصي دليلتك Once again.
in the limelight.
Not a long time has passed since the election of Liz Truss as UK Prime Minister. Everybody agrees she's not made for the job. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media websites for further details. Stay tuned, please. Middle East Eye wrote, amid economic catastrophe, the British Prime Minister has no choice but to step aside, and the Conservative Party may never recover. Empty, devoid of content, leading British Prime Minister Liz Truss has become a national joke. Her pitiful speech recently at the end of a dire Conservative Party conference leads to one inexorable conclusion. She's finished. And two unanswered questions. When does she quit? And how? The people who voted for her in the summer leadership contest were well aware she is a dud. They know this because they are already facing the real-world consequences of her calamitous premiership. Some are business people whose order books are falling because of Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng budget. Others have children who can't take out mortgages. While Truss was speaking, it emerged that the interest rate on an average two-year fixed mortgage has topped 6% for the first time in 14 years. Many Tory members are retired and understandably terrified for their future because Kwarteng's unforgivable financial buffoonery threatens pension funds with collapse. As Tories, they desperately want to believe in the government, but as citizens, they are now frightened because, like everyone else, they have to suffer the terrifying economic consequences of the most incompetent government of their lifetime. They don't feel safe with the kind of people currently running Britain. MPs, campaign strategists, and political reporters all agreed that Truss is useless, cannot recover, and would lead the Tory party to a massive defeat at the next general election, which must be held by January 2025 at the latest. They know that in the case of journalists with professional relish, the collapse of cabinet discipline and the yawning split opening up at the heart of the Tory party over every great issue. And now assume that Labour leader Keir Starmer will become Prime Minister, though there is disagreement about the scale of his majority. Some speculate that the Conservatives could be wiped out. The Tories would win just 3 seats if the YouGov poll showing Labour's 33-point lead were duplicated in a general election, while others feel the Tories may recover a bit. All said that no recovery is possible without a new leader. Everyone accepts, however, that there can be no repeat of the leadership election that occupied the Tory party over the summer after Boris Johnson's defenestration. Such a contest, besides being a distraction from the business government, would turn the Conservative Party into more of a languishing stock than it is already. So there is talk of a senior party delegation warning Truss that her time is up. If she refuses to go, mass cabinet resignations would follow. Her replacement would then be chosen by consensus. This would break party rules, but water always finds a way to flow downhill. Sunak, the former chancellor whose warning of economic consequences of a Truss premiership has been proved spectacularly correct, is the likely successor in such circumstances. There is some talk of a stopgap government led by Gov or Defence Secretary Ben Wallace. Johnson will certainly fancy his chances of a return, don't rule that possibility out. The majority of the party membership would want him back. For the time being, trust staggers on, though not for long. The Conservative Party has been smashed. Arguably, it will never recover. It doesn't deserve to. Labour is now on the verge of power and is likely to emerge from this period of national humiliation and economic disaster as a natural party of government under the leadership of Starmer. There is every reason to dislike Sir Starmer's brand of politics and to fear a Starmer premiership, but it can't possibly be worse than the horror show on display in Birmingham recently. Also, Guardian wrote, commanding no loyalty with no winning moves, Liz Truss is facing her endgame. One of the remarkable things about the recent disaster of a Conservative Party conference was the extent to which MPs, advisors, and other observers seemed to be coming round to the idea that Liz Truss wouldn't lead the party into the next election. Replacing Truss means unlikely, particularly given the recent circles of the last leadership contest. But even among those MPs who weren't champing at a bit for her overthrow, there were very few who thought the idea ridiculous. This is a dangerous state of affairs for the Prime Minister. It's quite possible to maintain a grip on the Conservative Party while being heartily detested by a section of it, at least for a while. Both Boris Johnson and Margaret Thatcher proved that, but when people's thoughts start simply straying past you, that's a bit different. How has it come to this? The satanic state of the polls is the obvious starting point. It would be a tall order to expect Conservative MPs to put up with 30-point deficits even in service to a project that they had pledged to support at an election, which in this case they did not. Beneath the dismay is a growing suspicion that there simply isn't a viable trust project at all. The core of the problem is simple. In order to calm the markets, Kwasi Kwarteng has pledged to balance his £43 billion of unfunded tax cuts with cuts to public spending. Yet no politically viable path to cuts on that scale exists. Where can these cuts be made? A smallish haircut to every departmental budget doesn't get you there. What it does get you is lots of toxic little stories leaked to the press, such as a proposal to cut free Remembrance Day rail travel for ex-servicemen. This is exactly the sort of thing that is floated when government departments are asked to find savings without making cuts to their core services. Guardian added, gutting capital investment spending doesn't get you there either, notwithstanding that Truss pledged on the campaign trail to deliver Northern Powerhouse Rail. No, only way you save up to £40 billion is by making huge cuts in the departments that spend the most, such as health, work and pensions, and education. Yet in her speech in Birmingham, Truss listed ambitious goals for the healthy secretary, her close ally, Theresa Coffey. This means more pressure elsewhere. But a leader who doesn't visibly command the loyalty of her parliamentary party can't impose her will on the departments, which is precisely why Truss is currently on the verge of another major U-turn on real-term benefits cuts, which leaves education. We've not heard much about that so far. Kwarteng may expect MPs who have spent years fighting for a new national funding formula and better deals for their local schools to sign off on a big budget cut. We would like to be in the room when he makes this request. We'll be right back.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zinda ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qumi. Stay tuned.
پیامبر خدا فرمودند المغبون.
Prophet Muhammad, in a very short but beautiful hadith, stated, a person who is trapped by the deceptions of others is neither rewarded nor admired by Allah. In better words, we are not allowed to be patient about the wrong deeds of ourselves or of fellow brothers and sisters, and then ask Allah to solve the problems of the Muslim Ummah. Everything starts from within. So we as Muslims must ask for Allah for rights and not be oppressed by others.
بنابراین اگر ما واژه صبر رو میگیم، صبر و بردباری، نه به این معنا که تحمل.
Therefore, sabr or patience does not mean to bear the oppression or deception of others. We as Muslims must be careful about our deeds, and if we are being oppressed, we must ask for our own rights and answer the oppression with the best answer possible. As we read in the famous Persian poem, neither oppress anyone nor be oppressed. This is what Al-Hussein taught through his movement. This is our religious criterion. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulema's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hojatul Islam Husseini Qomi. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type, and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Irshan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Irshan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Irshan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting, call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In
in most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, respected listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And here we are again with some of our students from Sevier International School, Brother Hussein Rohullah and Fawad Haider and Brother Hassan Nasrullah. And I'm going to say hello to them, inshallah. Then we will be here with you with our next session. So, hello, Hussein Rohullah, how are you doing?
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Assalamu
alaikum. Fine, sir, how are you?
Thank you so much, alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Fine.
How are you? Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Hassan Nasrullah, how are you?
Fine, sir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. So, thank you so much, brothers and sisters, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us. So, today, inshallah, the same as our previous sessions, we'll be working on one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah and we'll, inshallah, carry on. So, alhamdulillah, today we are going to, inshallah, practice and work on Ayah 32 and Ayah 33 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So make sure you stay with us, inshallah, till the end of this session. So Hassan, Hussein, and Fawad, are you ready, inshallah, to listen to these two verses of the Quran Kareem from Surah Al-Baqarah?
Yes.
Let's go.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون.
Now I will be inshallah reciting the same as the previous sessions. You will be repeating. Is that okay? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا.
قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا.
إنك أنت العليم الحكيم.
إنك أنت العليم الحكيم.
قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم.
قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم.
فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم.
فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم.
قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض.
قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض.
إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون.
إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون.
أحسنتم. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. In the previous ayah we learned about the challenge, yes? So now we will take a look at who wins the challenge, okay? When Allah Almighty asked the angels, okay, to say the names, the knowledge, okay, to present their knowledge, okay, they said that we know nothing except the things that you have taught us, okay? Comparing to the knowledge that Allah Almighty had given to Adam, the knowledge that the Adam alayhi salam had, the human being, okay? So the knowledge of the angels were nothing. So, okay, Allah Almighty had especially blessed Adam alayhi salam, the human being, okay, with knowledge, divine knowledge. So the angel, when Allah Almighty asked them to present their knowledge, okay, say these names, okay? The names, the things that I have given to Adam, can you say them? If you're saying that, if you're claiming that you're better than Adam, so say this. Remember that Allah Almighty had given permission to the angels to talk, to ask questions. Otherwise, they will never do anything without the command or without the permission of Allah Almighty, okay? So, the angels, they say that, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ, okay? لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا. We don't have any knowledge, okay? We don't have any knowledge. إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. Except what you have taught us. So we don't know these things that Adam know. It means we don't have that knowledge, okay?
Yes.
They said that, immaculate are you, or subhana, glory to you, okay? We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Indeed, you are the all-knowing. You are the all-wise. So look, the angels admit that Allah Almighty has the all knowledge and Allah Almighty knows Adam is better than angels. Because he created them. He created him better than angels.
Yes.
So Allah Almighty has not created the, for example, whatever on earth or whatever in the skies for the angels. Rather, هو الذي خلق لكم. Allah Almighty created for us, for the human beings. Yes, yes. Fawad is so much happy that, oh, Allah Almighty has created everything for me. But you have to be very much careful, okay? There is a reason behind this, that we have to get closer to Allah Almighty himself. perfection, okay? That is the reason behind. So, قال in the next ayah, قال يا آدم. Now Allah Almighty asks Adam عليه السلام that, oh Adam عليك السلام, okay? أنبئوني بأسمائي هؤلاء. You say these things that I have given you, okay? Say them to the angels. Let them know that you are better than them, okay? So, فلما أنبأهم, when the Adam عليه السلام, okay, informed them of their names, the names of the things that Allah Almighty had given the knowledge to Adam عليه السلام, okay? بأسمائهم قال the angels accepted this, okay? They understood that, yes, Adam عليه السلام is better than us, okay? Then Allah Almighty said that, قال ألم أقول لكم, Allah Almighty said that, didn't I tell you that I indeed have the knowledge of the unseen in the heavens and the earth? Allah Almighty says that, didn't I tell you that I know everything, okay? I know who is better, I know who has the knowledge, I know who does not have the knowledge, okay? Then, وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ, and I know whatever you disclose, it means you do, like in public, for example. Whatever you do, not hiddenly, okay? And whatever you do hiddenly. So Allah Almighty knows everything. So who won the challenge? Who won the challenge? Fawad won the challenge. So human being, of course, okay?
Yes.
Won the challenge. So our superiority, again, I tell you, is and the divine soul that Allah Almighty has given. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. And also what? The knowledge that Allah Almighty has given, okay?
So having more knowledge is equal to having more sawab.
Yeah, of course it is. But it depends on what knowledge.
Like the more good knowledge you have, the more sawab you have.
If you have a knowledge that kills humanity, instead of reward, you will have punishment.
And
knowledge should be the knowledge that helps you go to perfection, get to perfection. That's that knowledge. So inshallah, in the coming session, we will be talking more about this, okay, about the story of Adam alayhi salam and the angels. The prostration. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So now Fawad Haider, قالوا سبحانك. سبحانك, the first rule is the letter ba, which has like the قلقلة rule, right? سبحانك. قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا. This has a kind of you admit, okay, the angels admit that they have no knowledge. Look, how do I recite? قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا. لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا. One of the key points in recitation is to remember or to take a look at the meaning of the ayah, at the interpretation of the ayah. So if you understand this well, you will understand how to recite. If you know this, you will understand how to recite, for example, okay? قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. This ayah doesn't have any special rule because we know all of them. Okay, so let's go to the next ayah. قال يا آدم أنبئهم أنبئهم. Again, that what rule?
إقلاب.
إقلاب. It's easy. أنبئهم بأس أنبئهم. This is a new rule, okay, that we have not practiced. أنبئهم ميم ساكين plus ba. When ميم ساكين plus ba, we have what rule is applied on ميم?
إخفاء.
إخفاء. Yes. ميم ساكين plus ba, we have the rule إخفاء. أنبئهم بأسمائهم. أسمائهم, that واجب متصل مات. فلما أنبأهم, again أنبأهم إقلاب هم ميم ساكين plus ba, again إخفاء. فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدونها. The rule قلقلة is applied here as well. تبدون. Everywhere is keeping, okay, the words in this ayah because we have practiced them a lot, okay? So we don't need to make time practicing them because they are easy. وما كنتم تكتمون كنتم نون ساكن بلس تاء حسين
نون ساكن بلس تاء is
the rule
إظهار
إخفاء إخفاء super إخفاء فواد yes. helped you give thanks to فواد so كنتم تكتمون إخفاء so before we end the session do you want to listen to these verses again
yes
okay
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we practiced these two verses. And inshallah, I hope you refer to the Tafasir book. Again, I'm saying this. And also, practice the Tajweed rules. See you inshallah in the next session. Stay with us, brothers and sisters who are listening to us. Hussein, Hassan, and Fawad. See you inshallah in the next session. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks to Allah Almighty. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Xavier International School. See you inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.